Welcome. I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. 10,000 people turn 65 every day in the United States. By 2030, there will be about 72 million older people living in this country, more than twice the number in 2000. So what does it mean to be an elder today? What do you even think of that word, elder? What are the prevailing perceptions about the elderly? And how can we reclaim the positive power of that title for young and old alike? These questions are being raised in the 15 films shown at the Legacy Film Festival on Aging, which kicks off September 12th in San Francisco. Today, we are joined by Sheila Malkind. She directs the Legacy Film Festival on Aging. Sheila was director of the Silver Images Film Fest for 3 years, presenting films that celebrate older adults. And Sheila joins me in studio. Hi, Sheila. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for inviting me. Now we can talk about aging.
Yes, we can. Very important topic. We're also joined by Jared Scheib. He is director of The Mayor. The Mayor is described as a 68-minute stereotype-shattering documentary that reveals the humanity of seniors living life to the fullest in a retirement community in Texas. Hi, Jared. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Nice to have you. And we're joined by Edith Kaplan. Edith is a licensed clinical social worker. For 30 years, she has focused on mental health and aging, specializing in memory. She was the first social worker on staff at the UCSF Alzheimer and Memory Center. Hi, Edith. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
So I want to start off by talking about words. What words should we use? Because I struggle with this when we do shows about aging. Do we use elderly? I know a lot of people don't like that word. Senior, older, adult. Sheila, I know that some people, you just gave me the flyer for the festival, the Legacy Film Festival on Aging, and a lot of people said, take that word aging off of the flyer.
I know.
So what are your thoughts on this? What words
well,
do
you
like? Well,
you know, Rose, I like when you said elder. Yeah. Elder seems to connote some wisdom, whether it's true of every older person. So there I'm using older or older adult or senior. And I mean, it's just a concept that we have to get used to, that people are getting older. And everyone who's listening is going to get older if they're lucky. So just accept it and enjoy it. There's a lot to enjoy. There are challenges. And we are not going to say anything as if everything is wonderful. It's not. But still, we just want to triumph over old age and give it a good name.
Right, and that's the theme of the festival. Edith, what are your thoughts? You've been a social worker for 30 years. What are your thoughts on how we talk about this and the language we use?
Well, I think, as we know from any other field, the words, the semantics are very important in terms of what they communicate to people as far as positive or negative kinds of feelings. And I think the fact that we're struggling to find something that doesn't have a negative connotation is a good thing. I'm not sure we've come up with the perfect solution yet, but so far I'm pretty much in the camp of elder as well, because it does give you the idea of maybe passing down some wisdom and some respect for people who are aging. As Sheila said, each of us are aging every day. So the fact that we're even you have this program, to me, is a positive aspect of how things are beginning to change in the culture.
And Jared, did you talk about this specific issue with the seniors you interviewed in the retirement community in Texas?
Well, I recall talking about you know, more how they live their lives on a day-to-day basis and you know, what their attitudes were. And one of the big themes of the film was to show, as I was exploring, how life can be just as, you know, wonderful and fulfilling and challenging and meaningful and crazy a time as any other. And so one of the prevailing themes was just that I didn't want to treat any of the people in the film as though they were necessarily different, you know. And so I don't think we specifically talked about that issue, although it was something that was challenging for me to language as I was approaching different communities to film and talking about the film with other people. And I think the term I ended up settling on was older adults.
Older adults.
That doesn't fully communicate the meaning either.
Yeah. So. Well, and so how, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you? You're in your 20s?
Yeah, I'm 28.
Okay, so what got you interested in this topic?
Well, I was going, I shot the mayor about 5 years ago or so, and it's been a long time in the making, but I was going in my final semester at school, at film school, and I was going to be making a short documentary, and I was looking for a subject, and I was having dinner with my grandmother at her retirement community, and this couple walked by holding hands, and she goes, "Oh, get a room." And I said, "Mama, are people still, are people still being intimate here?" And she said, "Oh, sure." And I was like, "Really?" She said, "Oh, yeah, just because you get old doesn't mean you have to lay down and die." And I said, "Wow, I had never really thought about that as such a young person." And so that really piqued my interest and revealed to me that there was a whole emotional world and social world going on here that I hadn't thought of before. So I did the short, had a great experience, and decided to do a feature film.
Hmm. And the mayor is going to be shown Sunday, September 14th at 10:30, and you can find information at yourcallradio.org. Sheila, there are 15 films from 8 countries being shown at the festival. First off, how did the idea for this film festival come about?
Well, as you mentioned, I did this in Chicago, where I was living until 03 when I moved out here. And I've always been in the field of aging for 50 years in one capacity or another. And I heard about the festival in Chicago, Silver Images, and I thought, I've got to get involved in that. I saw their films. I was delighted with them. And I worked as a volunteer and then became the director in Chicago. But there was only a certain interest up to a point. And so after 3 years, it was decided not to continue the festival. But when I moved out here, there was a workshop that was going to be happening at the JCC, Images of Older People, that's another term, in the media. And I went to that and I told people about my background. I started showing films on aging at various schools, universities, libraries, and so forth. And then a woman named Doris Bursing at a certain facility asked me to do a film festival, and we did it together, and that's how we started. But I was thinking the other day, how come I've always been interested in older people? And now at age 76, I'm one of them. And so it's very exciting to me. What's the new phase for me?
Huh.
And how will I deal with it? And what I found is that some things have surprised me. For instance, I had great eyesight up until 2 years ago. I went for a checkup to an ophthalmologist. She said, "You have the healthiest eyes I've seen all day, but you have cataracts."
Huh.
And so I still have them and will do something about it. And my hearing is not, I asked to turn this volume up here. So I'm surprised by these things, but so far not discomfited.
Good.
So moving on. But there are people who have worse symptoms than I do. And so this is what I think is one of the challenges. How do we keep finding life meaningful? And not only finding it meaningful, but making it meaningful, because it's not a passive action. It's something that you have to be more aware of, and I think work a little harder at when you're getting older and you have some of these problems coming up, challenges. And that's something that as long as you're alive, you're going to have to deal with.
And do you feel like these issues are now starting to get more attention because we're now realizing that 10,000 people turn 65 every day in this country? We're living a lot longer, not necessarily healthier, right?
That's right.
But we are living longer.
Well, I think some people really want to deny the fact that they're going to get old. And the boomers, I think, there has been an article in the New York Times recently by this woman who's 65. She said, "I didn't realize that I was going to have these issues. I thought life was going to go along as it's always gone along." And I think we're all going to have to make those realizations. But also, if people are living to 100 and 110, how are they dealing with it? My mom was 89 when she died, and the last year of her life was not always a happy one. Mm. She couldn't walk very well. She cried sometimes about it. She tried to laugh most of the time, but she was getting confused. And so it wasn't the same as when she was 85. And for some people, Alzheimer's or other dementias, I think probably they used to say, maybe it's different now, until recently, that half of the people at age 85 will have some dementia.
Wow. Half.
Yes.
That's a lot of people.
It is a lot of people.
And Edith, for 30 years, you have focused on mental health and aging, specializing in memory as a social worker. You were the first social worker on staff at the UCSF Alzheimer and Memory Center. What really stands out for you in terms of our perception of getting old? How has that changed over the decades?
Well, I'm happy to say that in a way it has. One of the things that I did while working at the center was I worked with groups and went to some of the nursing homes and did some groups there as well while I was at UC, and also when I left there and transitioned into my own private practice. And one of the things I found fascinating was that I would do a group session, and everybody in this particular group was somewhere between, 70 and 90. And one day I decided the topic would be asking people how old they felt. And these were people are now who are in a nursing home, so that means that they're fairly compromised, either physically, emotionally, cognitively, or all of the above. And yet when I went around the room and asked everybody how old they felt, everyone, down to the last person, said somewhere between 5 and 15 years younger than they actually were. And so that to me, and I feel that myself. When your producer called yesterday and asked, may she ask how old I am, I said that I just was, I hated to tell her that I'm going to turn the big 70 this fall, because I don't feel like I'm 70, so I can't say 70. That sounds so very old. So even though things are, improving, and we still have this kind of ageist mentality that calls up a certain a more negative view of people getting older. But what I found in all the years of work and my time at the clinic is that we can't stereotype or generalize, is probably more correct, about aging, because everybody ages differently, just like everything else in their life is different. And people used to say, oh, when you get old, people get really, cranky and disinterested and whatever. And somebody very wise once said, no, that doesn't happen when you get old. If you're cranky and disinterested when you're young, you're going to be a cranky and disinterested old person. So it really is very individual, and I think that's a really important key to how we deal with aging, that it isn't one definition for everybody. As Sheila mentioned, health issues, et cetera. Everything in your life circumstance makes a difference. Your attitude, your genes, your social environment, et cetera. But there are a lot of things one can do, even within many challenges, to hopefully improve their older years.
Well, I wish people would, especially women, I think, stop worrying. And I'm sorry to say this, Edith, but there's nothing wrong with telling people that you're 70 years old. In fact, you should be proud of it, that you've gotten to that stage and that you're doing all the most wonderful things that you're doing. And life is still exciting. I think I'm more excited these days than I was as a teenager, where all I wanted to do was sit around and read a book or call my boyfriend or whatever it was. It's great. I love walking. This is a great city for walking, going up and down the hills. There's so much going on. You can go to something free. You don't have to pay if you don't have the money for it. I always think that people who are older should be wearing a big pin, and it's going to have a picture of them when they were 18 or 25 or 35. And people will look at it and they'll say, oh, that's what you looked like when you were young. But still respect you as an elder or an older adult, whatever term we decide on. And that's the thing about the films, because even though we might have some films, many films that might have talk about challenges, like we have a film called How Much Love from Israel, and it's about this man who was a terrific athlete. Now he has progressive muscular dystrophy, but he still runs a small athletic equipment shop, and his wife is his main support. Well, sad in that sense, but his daughter made the film, and she shows the love and devotion between them. And there will be somebody talking who's a social worker, not Edith, but someone else from Caregiver Alliance, about how this affects families and how they can deal with it. There's so many other films I could talk about. And so we have one program called Physicality. And it doesn't mean every film that's in that shows people who are great athletes, but it shows them still doing things. Like there's a film from Holland called How Great It Was, a group of 70-plus-year-old Dutchmen who have played hockey together for 50 years. And now they've decided this is going to be our last game. We're getting old, we're having problems, some of us, and we just don't have the strength and vitality. But there's still the friendship and actually the vitality of the group. And just a few days ago, the Chronicle had an article about these fly fisher women. You might have seen that article. And we're doing a film about that, of these fly fisher women who are older and some younger, and how that sport helps them with depression, and also casting is a good exercise for recovery from breast cancer. Mm. And one more in that one is the cake lady, the 90-year-old lady who makes cakes, and I'm sure she's going to bring one for me. She better.
That is Sheila Malkine. She directs the Legacy Film Festival on Aging, which kicks off on September 12th. It runs Friday through Sunday at the New People Cinema, 1746 Post Street in Japantown in San Francisco. You can find information at yourcallradio.org. You can also call 415-525-8600 for ticket information. We're also joined by Jared Scheib. He's director of The Mare. It's a 68-minute stereotype-shattering documentary that reveals the humanity of seniors living life to the fullest in a retirement community in Texas. Edith Kaplan is a licensed clinical social worker focusing on mental health and aging, specializing in memory. She was the first social worker on staff at the UCSF Alzheimer and Memory Center. And wow, we almost have full lines without even giving out the phone number, which proves that this topic is really important and people really want to talk about it.
I'm dying to hear what people want to ask or say.
Yeah. And so if you'd like to talk to us about what it means to be older in today's society, because this is happening very quickly. 10,000 people are turning 65 every day in this country. What does it mean for you to age? What does it mean to be an elder? And how can we take back that term? What are the prevailing perceptions? How can we reclaim the positive power of that title? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback at yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. And let's hear from one of our favorites, Shan in San Francisco. Hi, Shan. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rose. First of all, the word. I believe it, we can start from this little premise. We've got to bring the language into the 21st century. That's a job I'm taking seriously as a wordsmith who rhymes a lot. Here's the thing. We're born. We enter childhood. Then comes adulthood. For some, there's parenthood. Then what? Senior citizenship? Nah. Let's go right to elderhood. Elderhood, where you've lived long enough and you can choose it. You don't have to wait till you're 65 or 67. You just say, I'm an elder, and I've got a little wisdom on me, some great stories to tell, and I intend to tell them. Now, I've gone into another phase, which your good people that are on today might enjoy. I've entered the third month of my 85th year on Earth, and I am, it's calling it cronedom.
Yes.
So I am a crone, and I love it. I'm rehabilitating that word. It doesn't mean an old, ugly woman. Hallelujah.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Shan.
So here's the other thing. Okay. When you say elderly, don't say that anymore, Rose, because elderly rhymes with infirmity and infirmary. So elder is good. Elderhood is better.
Elderhood and, okay, elder and elderhood. I like it. All right. Thank you so much, Shan.
Thanks for letting me talk.
Of course. let's go next to Ed in Santa Cruz. Hi, Ed.
Hi. I'm 74 years old, and I want to share with people what I've discovered, a way of making myself healthier and younger as I get older. 10 years ago, my chiropractor turned me away and said I had the stiffest back he'd ever worked on, and he couldn't afford to take a risk of, you know, making things worse. So I was left without any therapy at all. I had all kinds of traumatic injuries, especially as a teenager. So I started swimming, and then I discovered that when I get in the warm water, I'm able to manipulate my joints in such a way as to break up the adhesions that are making for the pain. All the time.
Ed, we just lost you there. I think, did you move?
No.
Okay, and it sounds better. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry. So each time I go in the water, I come out feeling better. And I've got a website I'd like to give people that shows a film I made with Cookie's chiropractors that they've affirmed it.
Oh, Ed, we're losing you again.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, go ahead. What's the website?
It's a political website, but it's also got this therapy on it. It's called FullSpectrumDemocracy.org.
Okay. Great.
Just click on the underwater video, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Okay. Sounds great, because I know a lot of people have back pain, so hopefully that'll help them out. Thank you for calling in, Ed. Today we are talking about elderhood. We'll say that for now.
Go.
How's that?
Good.
And we're talking about the Legacy Film Festival on Aging, which kicks off on September 12th and runs through the weekend at the New People Cinema, 1746 Post Street in Japantown here in San Francisco. If you're not online, you can call 415-525-8600 to get more information. And we'd love to hear from you. What does it mean to age today? 10,000 people turn 65 every day in the United States. So what does it mean for you? What has your experience been like? And how can we reclaim the positive power of the title elderhood? It's your call. We'll be back after this.
This is your call on KALW, local public radio. If you have a perspective that you haven't heard in today's discussion or a question that you feel needs to be answered, please join the conversation by calling 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-TALK, toll free. You can also send an email to feedback@yourcallradio.org or post a comment or question at the show's website, yourcallradio.org.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we'll speak with writer, historian, and activist Rebecca Solnit about her new book, Men Explain Things to Me. How are women silenced by men when talking about issues that relate specifically to them? And what will it take to get society to connect the dots and have a real conversation about violence against women? How can we create safe spaces? Coming up on Wednesday, we'll talk about the new play, The Free Speech Movement. In 1964 in Berkeley, Cal students demanded the right to free political speech on campus and ignited a worldwide youth rebellion. So we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about this new upcoming play. And then Thursday, we'll speak with Dana Goldstein about her new book, The Teacher Wars, A History of America's Most Embattled Profession. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, if you'd like to join us, we're talking about what it means to age in this society. 10,000 people turn 65 every day in the U.S. By 2050, the population age 65 and over is projected to be 84 million, almost double that population today. So what does elderhood mean to you? What has it been like for you to age? You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. Today, we are joined by Sheila Malkind. She directs the Legacy Film Festival on Aging. She was the director of the Silver Images Film Fest for 3 years. Jared Scheib is director of The Mayor, a documentary that reveals the humanity of seniors living life to the fullest in a retirement community in Texas. And Edith Kaplan is a licensed clinical social worker. For 30 years, she has focused on mental health and aging, specializing in memory. She was the first social worker on staff at the UCSF Alzheimer and Memory Center. And Jared, you're in your 20s. You're 28. How do you see the way our society deals with elderhood and what it means to be in this age group as someone who's 28?
Yeah, well, it's my impression, it has been for a number of years. I mean, I personally, I think I have a slightly different view from growing up because I was fortunate enough to know all four of my grandparents and visit them often, either at their houses for dinner or at different nursing homes or retirement communities that they were living in as I was growing up. But I do think that there is generally, from my perception anyway, a slightly negative connotation in the sense that usually we associate aging with things like dementia or degeneration or debilitation or death. I think people, you know, it raises a question of, like, you know, your mortality. And people don't tend to want to think about, you know, for whatever reason, how they may die or get old and lose different abilities, physical abilities they have now or cognitive abilities. So I think there is generally a slightly negative connotation. I don't think it has to be that way. And that's something that I really was exploring in The Mayor as I realized that there are plenty of people who are continuing to live life just as they always have, just as richly and fully and meaningfully as always. So that's what I explored in the film. But I definitely think that's my perception of how younger people tend to think about it, and the reaction I tend to get to the film is that people are surprised and that they are realizing that it doesn't have to be the way they've always imagined that we culturally think about it. It can be whatever you make it in many cases. So,
well, I'm glad you said that. I want to tell something just slightly personal. My board member Howard Plumbert is sitting in the other room. He's also my boyfriend. And the funny thing is, three times when we've been out, once in a bar where there were mainly younger people, people come up to us and say, "You are such a cute couple." And some people, when I've told that to them, they say, "How condescending." But I think it's great. We have a good life. We enjoy each other. We've met 4 or 5 years ago. I don't even remember when. And that doesn't mean I have dementia. But life goes on. And there are some things you can say, and Howard has said this, it's adaptation, not resignation. And that's what I think older people and younger people have to realize as well.
Well, and Edith, maybe you can respond to our caller, Mary in Santa Cruz. She didn't want to stay on the line. She was crying, actually, when she called. She said she hates being old. She said she's dealing with depression and personality disorder. She lives in senior housing because she can't afford to live on her own. Her kids can't visit. So many of her friends have passed away. She says, being old for me is not great and cheerful, and I just don't know how to cope.
Well, it's interesting that that came up, because as I was listening to Sheila and Jared and everyone, it's true, you know, we need to emphasize the positive and, you know, look at the plus side of aging, et cetera. But there are people who, for whom aging is not such a joyous experience, and it sounds like the woman who called is definitely one of them. The good news is that people like herself who have depression, and we saw many people in the clinic who thought they had more severe memory issues, who turned out to be have depression as the major problem. And as you people probably hear on TV and radio and news articles, depression is treatable. And hopefully this person is in touch with resources that are available in her community. More and more, I think people are recognizing that depression is not anything to be ashamed of or to hide. It's an ailment, a disease like diabetes. You have diseases of the body and you have diseases of the mind that are biochemical. And there are treatments that can help, a variety of things. So I'm hoping that somebody at her residence community, there's someone she can speak to direct her to appropriate resources for the various things that she's dealing with, so that things aren't as painful or difficult as they are. But it does tell us about a whole group of aging people who are not able to do some of the things that we all have been talking about. But I think Sheila's comment from Howard is about adaptation, is how do we adapt and how do we get some help to live with the challenges that we face and to reach out and not be, you know, inwardly directed and not get the help that's needed, because it is out there.
And Sheila, do you have any recommendations for Mary? I'm sure she's still listening. She also told us that she's seen a few therapists and she's on antidepressants.
Well, I think one of the most important things for older adults is community. That doesn't mean you have to have 50 people, but as long as you have a few people, like-minded people, somebody who cares about you. A friend of mine just had a very sad thing happen. Her son committed suicide. She immediately called some of us and said, I need support. Can you come over? Can you help? And I think if Marion can reach out to people and tell them, I'm hurting, I'm in pain, can we talk about it? That might be helpful for her as well.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Mary. Let's go next to Pat in San Francisco. Hi, Pat. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. I don't know how unique this particular problem is, but we're both in our 60s, and my wife's health is deteriorating, but she will not go see a doctor. She doesn't trust them. She doesn't believe in them. She is mentally competent, so I can't use that avenue to force her to a doctor. And I'm not particularly sure where to go with it.
Anyone have any advice?
Well, I'm wondering, what's the problem with the wife?
Well, because she doesn't get up and move around as much as she used to. Her muscles are atrophying, so it takes 10 times longer to get anywhere. She only leaves the house once a month to cash her retirement check. And she's wheezing a lot. She's contented just sit in front of the TV and smoke her cigarettes and watch her TV and drink her coffee.
And this has been going on for how long?
Well, she retired 4 years ago.
Uh-huh. Well, two things. One, I wonder if maybe is there someone else in the family besides yourself who might have a little leverage with her in terms
no.
of... No.
No, her son and I have both tried to cajole, beg, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
And her distrust of doctors is pretty high.
Right.
I mean, she's had health insurance for 30 years, and I think she's used it 3 times.
Well, the other thing you might think about, I don't know what area of the city you live in, but there are resources for older adults where they make home visits to people, and that might be something that you could set up so that someone could come out and evaluate her situation, make some recommendations, and take it from there.
I think the Caregiving Alliance might be one of the places that you could look to begin with.
Well, Family Service Agency covers all of San Francisco, and they do have a home visiting team, and there are a couple other services that maybe Rosalie or someone can get in touch with you after, but maybe a home visit might be the way to go.
And the website for that is caregiver.org, and we'll put links on at Your Call Radio right after the show.
You know, I think one of the, it does probably does not so much pertain to the last caller's wife, but I see that people who retire have a difficult time often at the beginning. It's a new life, and they don't really know what they maybe have not planned for it. And just to make it a little lighter, we do have a French film that I want to talk about called Bright Days Ahead. And I don't mean to make light of this gentleman's wife's situation. But in this film, which is a French film, this mother, grandmother, has just retired as a dentist. And she's looking for a new life. And she starts going to a senior center. And at first she feels, these people are too old, even though she's same age. But then she takes a computer class with a guy who's 20 years younger. And it ends up that they have this great, wonderful affair. And she has some decisions to make after that. So that's all I'll say about that film at this point.
That one struck us, too, because when you look at Hollywood films, it's very rare to have an older woman with a younger man, although that's changing slowly.
Slowly.
Yes.
And actually, we're going to have some people, including a guy named Kent Olin, he just wrote a book for boomers on how to do online dating. And so we'll be talking about that as well.
Okay. And then I was just thinking about your call, Mary, if you're still listening. There's a really great organization called Senior Center Without Walls.
Mm.
And it basically allows people to call in. All you need is a phone, and they've got amazing programs throughout the day. Everything from news to film to outdoor activities. And you might want to check this out. It's seniorcenterwithoutwalls.org, and you can call 877-797-7299, 877-797-7299. So hopefully that'll also help, because it's incredible. It creates community, especially for people who cannot leave their homes.
That's right. And I think this is a big issue that's coming up, is people who can't leave their homes. And so I think also some of the big digital companies are going to have to deal with this and stream things into their homes, films that would be helpful. And of course, there's robots now and other ways of viewing people at home and their health problems as well.
And Rosalie, you remind me that also there's agencies that have friendly visitors. There are places where you can call with the kind of mental health issues that the caller mentioned. And so I think that's part of the good news, which is that there are, at least in our community, there are lots of resources, but people need to be hooked up with them. And this seems like it would be really helpful for some of the callers that called you today.
And that is Edith Kaplan. She's a licensed clinical social worker for 30 years. She is focused on mental health and aging. She was the first social worker on staff at the UCSF Alzheimer and Memory Center. Jared Scheib is director of the documentary The Mayor. It reveals the humanity of seniors living life to the fullest in a retirement community in Texas. And Sheila Malkind directs the Legacy Film Festival on Aging, which kicks off September 12th, this Friday, and runs through Sunday. All programs will include post-screening Q&As, and the films are showing at the New People Cinema, 1746 Post Street in Japantown in San Francisco. The phone number is 415-525-8600. And if you'd like to join us, if you'd like to talk about what it means to age in today's society, so many people are turning 65 every day in the United States, 10,000. A lot of people are living longer, not always healthier, but this is something this country is really going to have to deal with in the coming years. So what are your thoughts on what it means to age? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255. We would love to hear your personal experiences or your thoughts if you're just about to enter this journey. You can also leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org, or email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Let's hear from Pamela in the East Bay. Hi, Pamela. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Holly.
Oh, hi. It's Rose.
I just want to weigh in on the word elderly.
And sure.
They definitely should drop the L-Y. Definitely. I mean, in other cultures, in Africa, an elder was thought of as extremely respected and looked up to, and there was no negative negative connotation to that word. And the other thing is, you know, I'm 72, but I won't go to a senior center specifically because it's called a senior center. I mean, there has to be some, why not call it a center? I mean, I don't know. And I'm not the only one who feels that way. It's just the stigma of it.
Right. Well,
I mean, it's hard enough getting older without having all these reminders. There's certain places we should go and we can't go. And it's depressing. And the last thing is, I can't think of this author's name. She wrote A Year of Magical Thinking. Does anybody know who that is?
Oh, yeah.
She wrote Slouching to Bethlehem.
Joan Didion.
Right. And in her book, A Year of Magical Thinking, you know, she lost her daughter and she lost her husband. And so she was alone and she had to start going out socializing. And in the book, there was a sentence that really got to me. She said, "I thought I was younger." And I think we all think that, and I think people need to hold on to that and just remember that.
Well, thank you so much for calling, Pamela. I think part of the problem is just the stereotypes out there. I mean, Jared, you worked on this film, The Mayor, looking at a retirement community in Texas, and, you know, a lot of the film focuses on the struggle for love and connection and sex. And, I mean, I understand that you had your own stereotypes going into the film, and you were really surprised by what you learned. So do you think that's part of the problem, you know, thinking about what Pamela raised about these negative stereotypes we have about what it means to age?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there is a general stigma, and definitely to kind of people who are getting older into specific roles in society would feel suppressive. So I can't speak from personal experience considering my age, but I feel like there is a lot of mental baggage that comes with, you know, the territory, and there could be a lot of work done to reverse that. That's certainly one of the aspirations of the film. To help challenge the ideas that we have generally in culture of what it means to age and what one can do as one gets older. But yeah, it's a real challenge.
And Rosalie, oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Edith.
May I add, speaking of this topic, one of the films that she will be showing at the festival for which I'm doing the Q&A is called Forget Me Not. And it's a lovely German film about a woman who is going through Alzheimer's. And this is the kind of thing that usually people shy away from, as Jared was saying earlier. But it's really a wonderful testament to how people still have some areas of life that they're able to enjoy, how a family can come together, how old issues can be resolved, and it's a wonderful view of something that people would normally say, ooh, I don't want to watch that, it's going to be too depressing. And so I would encourage people to not avoid the Sunday afternoon film, because it sounds like something terrifying that we don't want to get in touch with.
Well, I want to bring up something about that Edith has touched on. There are four generations of this family who come together in this film, Forget Me Not, Vergiss Mein Nicht, if that's how you say it in German. And we have to think more about intergenerational relationships. And Jared's been lucky because he had all four grandparents that he related to. Many of our filmmakers, not maybe so much this time, are filmmakers who have made films about aging because they had a relationship, a good relationship with their grandparents. And so I think that's part of the issue. How do we have a more intergenerational relationship? That's one of our missions, is to entertain and educate people about the issues, and we want it to be intergenerational, and we try to show some films that we think younger people would like to see. Benjamin Franklin said, "All would live long, but none would be old." Nobody wants to be old, but there are the challenges, and it's part of life. We have to not only accept it, but work hard at it.
We have an email from Ari who says, "For me, the prospect of aging is terrifying, not the wisdom part, but the financial part. My mom is 79, is running out of money, will have to sell her house, and has few prospects. I have a partner with a decent job, but we have a disabled child who will be deteriorating at about the same time as we will. We barely make it on one income. I'm a full-time caretaker. We save, but not as much as we need to. It creates a lot of low-level constant anxiety." I mean, this is a huge issue.
It is a huge issue, and one that we will be taking up, because we're trying to find films on this issue, and it's been difficult. Hmm. I think the Europeans have gotten a little more into this, but here in this country, we seem to put our heads under the covers and not deal with it, and there are so many people who need to deal with this issue.
Yeah, we should actually do a show on this, because according to the Economic Policy Institute, 41 million seniors are just one bad economic shock away from significant material hardship.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you're right, because the whole financial question is a really big problem for many, many people. A lot of times when we're talking about enjoying life and whatever, it's people who have at least the leisure, time, and health and money to, not that there aren't free things, but, you know, they don't have the kind of worries that your caller had. And I think it's really a public policy issue of how caregivers are dealt with, how people, like you said, who are living above the poverty line are dealt with. And so I think a show on that would definitely be welcome.
Yes, exactly, especially talking about Social Security and Medicare.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for emailing, Ari. I'll definitely add that to our show list. We have time for one or two more callers. Let's go to Tara in San Francisco. Hi, Tara.
Hi. I hope you can hear me.
Yes, fine. Go ahead.
Great. My question is this, and maybe I should ask people, let people know that they might want to get a pencil. What are the resources and services available to people over 50 and 60, which is how I prefer to refer to groups of, rather than lumping everybody together as elders or elderly? I don't quite know, you know, what that means. It seems to be a moving target. But I guess we're talking about largely people over 60. So what are the resources in the Bay Area that are available to to them.
I think
I'm not quite there yet. I'm almost there. So that's why I say them.
Okay.
Well, good for you for thinking about it. No. The Department of Aging and Adult Services would be, I think, one of the first places I would go to talk. They would have a list of all the resources that are available in the Bay Area. And there are many other organizations that can also respond to that. But I would say that would be the first place to go.
And Edith, which one would you add to the list?
Oh, well, it depends. I don't know when she says resources for what. There are so many areas of resources.
How about for...
certainly start with the senior information and referral under United Way. And as Sheila said, the Department of Aging. But I don't know. There might be a way to, first of all, to specify which kinds of things she's looking for.
Is there one specifically that focuses on forming communities?
Well, again, I think the senior centers are important for that. People don't like that phrase. And most people who are thinking of it say, well, I'm not that old, as one of your callers said, and she doesn't like the word. But gosh, there's a lot of things to do at a senior center and find out about it. And we just have some of our sponsors, like Unlock Lifeways, and Living Well and Scan Health Plan, all of those would be helpful to investigate.
Okay, and we'll put links on our website right after the show.
Yeah, the Institute on Aging, perhaps. And there's a whole new trend that's happening in the country called
villages.
Aging in Place, where people are going, villages, right.
Okay, well, and we'll definitely focus on those for future shows. Edith Kaplan is a social worker. She's been doing this work for 30 years. Jared Scheib is director of The Mayor, a documentary that'll be shown at the festival, and Sheila Malkind directs the Legacy Film Festival on Aging. Kicks off on Friday at the New People Cinema, 1746 Post Street in San Francisco. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call. What can we do to create safe spaces for women? On the next Your Call, we'll have a conversation with writer, historian, and activist Rebecca Solnit about her new book, Men Explain Things to Me. How are women silenced by men when talking about issues that relate specifically to them? And what will it take to get society to connect the dots and have a real conversation about violence against women? Join the conversation on the next Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To sign up for our podcast or newsletter, or to share the show on Facebook or Twitter, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Razazan and Ali Budner produce the show. Matt Martin is our executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer. And Debbie Kennedy is the studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.